Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Clark from the Center for Weight Loss Success. And on this podcast of Weight Loss Surgery Success, we're going to be talking to an expert on traveling for different health problems, John Codes with Healthcare Elsewhere. We'll be right back. Hello again, this is Dr. Clark, and again today on this podcast, we're going to be talking to John Codes. John Codes, say hello.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
All right, and he is part of Healthcare Elsewhere, and what we're talking about when I say Healthcare Elsewhere is kind of getting things done somewhere else, whether it be truly traveling out of the country or just traveling out of your area to get things done with healthcare. And it could be, like I said, whether it be surgery or whether it be anything else that can be done. John, tell us a little bit about kind of your company, what you're doing, what your goals, your story, I guess.
Sure, absolutely. So again, thanks very much for having us on the show. We really appreciate it. And for also for you coming on to our show and bringing some of your patients along so we could share that with our listeners. So what we're doing in the short term here is that we've created a podcast about medical tourism because we found when we did some research on iTunes that if you typed in the term medical tourism, basically nothing came up. There were no shows about it at all. No one really knew anything about it. And kind of the genesis of where this all started was I have a marketing agency and company here in Huntsville, Alabama, and we help companies from all over the country with their marketing. And I also have written a couple of books, just as you have done, using the same systems. So when we wrote this book, we actually got asked to speak at a medical tourism conference at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas last year with 2,000 attendees. It was a really big international conference. We're really excited about it. And they found us through, you know, through our book. So we went over to this conference and started speaking, and we're telling everyone what a big deal Google Plus Hangouts and podcasts and all this, you know, new media was as far as reaching out and trying to get your patients' stories out there instead of trying to advertise through traditional media like billboards, radio, TV, and things like that, which just really aren't as effective anymore. So I challenged the audience and said, hey, you know, there's nobody else doing this right now. You should go out and make a podcast and a show and do that. You'd be able to really crush it out there. Well, that was back in November. And by the time the new year rolled around in January, late January, I looked and nobody had done it. Nobody had taken me up on that suggestion. So because I have a personal passion for it, and I'll get to that in a second, we decided that, well, why don't we do the podcast and then we'll interview these people. We'll interview patients and healthcare experts and doctors from around the world and let them tell their stories of success and where they came from and the pain and whatever it was that they were having with the problem in their life and how they couldn't get it done in their own country and then traveled somewhere else to get it done. So that was kind of the genesis of how it all started. And we launched, it's been about 3 weeks ago now, it was in mid-April, and we launched it number one on iTunes. So obviously there's a lot of pent-up demand and a lot of people are interested in the topic.
Right. I mean, this is, you kind of got us into this whole thing too. I've been doing some podcasts now, I guess since late or mid fall last year, but it was something that was truly foreign to me. And yeah, this has become something that's kind of fun to do once you start doing it. And it is a good way to get information out there. And, you know, this, I think it's a great topic and a great, I'm glad you went out there and actually started doing this.
Well, thanks. We appreciate it. I mean, when I talked about, we had a little bit of a passion for it. So, you know, my own personal story, my wife and I, we have been married for almost 25 years. And when we first were just dating, we found out that she had cancer and it was not a good prognosis. And so this was, you know, 25 years ago, immunotherapy, DNA testing, none of that stuff really existed. So she was able to get into a highly experimental and very exclusive cancer basically study that used immunotherapy, which is a really big deal now. But back then, it was just, they didn't really know what they were doing. They were kind of testing and tracking, and, you know, it had FDA approval, of course, but it was very highly, you know, they were just in the testing phases. So she was one of the fortunate few who actually got in and ended up surviving. She actually went through twice. She had basically the cancer issue came up twice. And so over a period of 2 years, she actually traveled from, originally she was living in Hawaii when she was stationed in the military there. And that's where we had met. And she ended up going to Duke University for these experimental cancer vaccines. So she was traveling extensively to get, every month she'd go in and get more shots and this and that. So that was kind of the beginning of our medical tourism journey. And even though it was within the United States, it might as well have been a foreign country because she was so far away. I mean, flying from Hawaii to North Carolina, that's a long way every month, right? So then fast forward some years, we got married and eventually adopted our three children. Our three kids are all a sibling group from Poland. So we spent a lot of time in the Polish healthcare system over 4 months, getting them their shots and getting them their records updated and making sure that, you know, their health was okay. And then one of our children, our oldest son, he just turned 14 today, actually. He's all excited, but he's deaf and he has cochlear implants. Now, he didn't have those when we first adopted him. He was only 3 years old or almost 4 years old. So we had to travel to New York from Poland to, you know, once we got done to get him his initial cochlear implant, and then he got his second one recently. And then, you know, for me personally, I didn't actually travel for this, but I've had stem cell implants into my knee. I had surgery on my knee to replace damaged cartilage. So, you know, kind of all that combined really gave me a passion for medical technology and what's going on in the world today, and how, you know, we can use these technologies and the ability to use basically kind of medical arbitrage, you know, because you can go to another country and get fantastic care for way less than you can sometimes here in the United States. And that shouldn't be the only reason you travel, because it should be safe and, you know, in a certified manner and all this other stuff. But for us, we're just really passionate about the subject, and that's kind of how, you know, the full circle of how we got to doing all this.
Wow, that's an amazing story there. And obviously you got firsthand experience, and this was quite a bit of time ago. Now, nowadays, you know, it's becoming more common, but really, you know, do you have a good feel for kind of how common is this, that people are actually traveling to do certain things like this? And again, it can doesn't have to be out of the country. It works in the country too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, as a matter of fact, we had interviewed you and talked with one of your patients about how she looked to go overseas, and she looked at a variety of different things for her weight loss surgery. And I can't remember if she got a bypass or the sleeve or which one she did. And I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not up on all the terminology. But, you know, for us, we really wanted to tell her story and let everyone know, you know, that she did five or so years worth of research, and she had looked overseas, she looked in the United States, and she ended up choosing your clinic and your practice because of the fact that it was basically just about the same price when you factored in the travel and the aftercare that was going to be going along with it. Plus, you guys have that really innovative program where your patients have access to you every week through webinars and things like that. I mean, I've mentioned that on the podcast a few times to other healthcare professionals, and they all look, they go, what they're doing? What? That's unbelievable. That's a really groundbreaking thing. I don't really think maybe you know just how big a deal that is. It really, I think every healthcare agency and doctor should be doing that kind of thing. So, I mean, I applaud you for doing that. So yeah, so it can be a domestic thing, or it can be, you know, international. Our first episode, we interviewed a woman who was from the United States, and she had MS, and the doctors had done everything they could for her, and they basically sat her down and they said, look, we're sorry, but there's nothing else that we can do for you here in the United States. And within 4 years, you're going to probably be in a wheelchair. You're not going to be able to have a coherent conversation with people. Your life, you know, as a functioning human adult is pretty much going to be over. You're going to need people to take care of you at that point. And she was not willing to accept that at all. She just said, no, I can't. I'm just not going to abide by that. There's got to be another way. So she started doing a lot of research online. And eventually what she ended up doing was she went to Costa Rica, where she ended up getting stem cell therapy that has basically turned her back into a normal functioning human being who's living successfully with MS. I wouldn't say that it's a cure necessarily for her, but you know, she's not in a wheelchair. She's very active. She can go, you know, swimming or scuba diving or play tennis or whatever. I mean, she has a life because of these treatments. So, you know, we've had other stem cell recipients who have traveled to Russia in different countries, and you know, there's a variety of other procedures too. Basically, just about anything that you could think of, if you have a problem with your healthcare insurance, either you don't have it or you can't get it, or maybe the Obamacare, you know, the health, Affordable Health Care Act is too expensive for you, or it doesn't cover the procedure that you need. There's 100 reasons why you might need to do this. And so the initial reaction that we get is about half the time people say, medical tourism, what is that exactly? Define that for me. And so we kind of explain it to them and they go, oh, okay, I get that, traveling somewhere else because of this and that. But it's not only because of price. Sometimes it's because you can't get the treatment in your country and you have to go somewhere else to get some treatment that has been authorized in that country. So, I mean, for me to do these interviews and talk with these people who have had life-changing events, and basically if they had stayed in their own healthcare system in their own country, it just wouldn't work for them. And they went somewhere else and got relief from their pain and their problem and corrections to whatever their issue was. I mean, it's just been fantastic. So to answer your question, I don't have specific numbers of how many people are actually traveling and doing this. You know, some estimates are as high as 1 million people a year doing it. Some estimates are it's more like 80 to 100,000 people. All I know is if you have a problem and you need to get it taken care of and you can't do it in your country, then you should look to other countries and see if you can get it done there.
Right. It's, I think it's only going to become more and more common, you know, with the healthcare in the U.S. the way it is. And we are seeing tremendous changes. And I think we're only going to see a lot more changes over the next few years.
Yeah.
And specifically for weight loss surgery, I think it's going to be one of those things that often won't be a covered benefit for people. And with some, about half of the states, actually, it's not part of the exchanges that are out there, and our state specifically, it's not part of the exchanges. So we'll probably start to see more people looking to, you know, travel for literally for surgery, and that'll be relatively short traveling. It's just, you know, within the United States or maybe a state or two away. And that was part of the what we tried to set up when we set up this program, as you kind of mentioned, that we, you know, the patient we were talking about actually had a sleeve gastrectomy, and we're doing a lot of them almost as outpatients now, and so the hospital stay is very, very short, and sometimes they'll stick around either in a hotel for a couple of days so we can keep an eye on them. But the follow-up care, which is extremely, extremely important in weight loss surgery, there's ways to do that with technology now. As you mentioned, I do a live webinar every single week. Our patients have access to me to ask questions every single week, and it's easy to do. It just is, you know, technologically you just get it set up, and we actually have most of our information. We deliver it to them. We like to deliver hard copies because, my perspective, it makes them physically do something when you have to open up a package.
Yeah, they like getting those DVDs and CDs in the mail. They really do,
Right. It's when, you know, when they get something digitally, and I'm the same way, is that when I get something digitally, it's easy for me to, even if I think, oh, this is really important, I'm going to put it in this file over here. I'm going to come back to it.
Yeah.
And I almost never.
And then 6 months later, you're going, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Right. I know I saw something about that. So it's kind of one thing I've kind of made that decision, and it is, yes, it's more expensive to deliver it to them, but I think they actually get a lot more out of it, and if they'll sit down, and, you know, hopefully right at that time. So once a month they get something from us in the mail.
Yeah.
It kind of keeps us well connected and engaged, and that's a big part of our travel program, is staying connected after they're gone. It isn't just one of those, well, I went and got the surgery and I'm good now. It's like, no, we need to stay connected and really work through all the nuances of the surgery and optimize weight loss, keep it off, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked with many healthcare professionals in different countries who are offering the same types of surgeries that you are. And, you know, that's one of the things that we always ask of all of our healthcare professionals when they come on the show is, well, how do you handle aftercare? Because that's one of the, that's just as important. So this person is going back to their home country. How do you follow up with them? Do you do anything, you know, like webinars and things like that? Or do you have DVDs? Or how do you handle this? Because, you know, especially in weight loss, from what I'm learning about all this after, you know, reading your books and getting into more of all this stuff and kind of learning about it as part of my research for doing these webcasts or for my podcast, was that, you know, if you don't have the follow-on support you know, a support group, a Facebook group of other like-minded individuals who have had the same kind of surgery, who can help you with the struggles. And I know that your system talks to them about, hey, here's some stuff to do for this month. Typically in the third month after this surgery, you have our patients typically come up against these roadblocks. So these are the things you should be watching for, and here's how to overcome them. And if you still have a hard time, you can contact us directly, or you can talk to Dr. Clark here on the webinar, or you can talk to people in our Facebook group. So they have lots of ways that they can stay connected to people. And with today's technology, I mean, you know, with you know, Google Plus Hangouts we're doing here, or Skype, we do a lot of Skype interviews. You can talk to anybody in the world anytime for free. It doesn't cost anything. So the technology's there. We should absolutely use it. And I really applaud you for doing that. And a lot of companies that I talk to and interview now, we challenge them and tell them, hey, if you haven't thought about this, and we use your example of how you're doing it right from within the United States, but if you have traveling patients, this is a way that you can go out and do this and basically keep up with the patients and make sure that they're getting a good successful outcome, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line as they progress with their you know, their aftercare basically.
Right. I think that that's so important. And we like people, actually, we can do the counseling sessions kind of either, like I said, FaceTime, yeah, Skype, Google Hangouts. It works wonderfully. And I always tell people that as a physician, I'm actually a relatively poor counselor. I'm not a great counselor. I can tell you exactly what you should do, but you got to go do it then. What our counselors do here is tell you or work with you how do you actually get those things accomplished. And so,
yeah,
especially with weight loss, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I always kind of joke around about, you know, hey, there's all these weight loss products out there. Everybody wants to lose weight. You can, there's ads on TV for Ultra Slim Fast or whatever, you know, this and that, and they've got all these celebrity spokespeople, and I always just tell people, look, it's easy. Just move more and eat less, and you'll be all set, right? And of course, that's silly. It's not that easy, right? But, you know, with all these different options out there for people, it can be overwhelming to them. So once they finally do feel comfortable making that decision, I know that, you know, the way that you bring them into your program and explain to them how you're doing it and using testimonials and talking with other patients is a very successful way to do that. And so we're very much into story-based marketing, as far as instead of worrying about, you know, trying to, you know, hey, buy my stuff and yelling at people and they're not listening, we try and tell stories that are compelling, that are interesting to people, to educate them about this. And we have nothing to sell. I mean, we're just doing the podcast because we saw a need and we're filling that need. And eventually we'll probably have some advertisers on the show, but for right now, really all we're trying to do is educate people, because less than half of the people in North America tend to even know what medical tourism is or that it's an option for them. And so when you talk, you know, we had an interview with a woman in Canada. She's a medical tourism facilitator. This is kind of like a travel agent who helps you, you know, with whatever your issue is, find the right place for you. And they specialize, they've been down there to the location, they've talked to the doctors, they've seen the facility, gone over the JCI, the Joint Commission International accreditations and all this kind of stuff. And so they've kind of vetted them out already for you. So she was in Canada and she had a gentleman who had severe neck and back pain. He almost had an unlivable life. He was married, had a kid, and he was living in pain all the time. And it was going to be 2 years for him to see a specialist. I think they told him it was going to be a year. Because of the way the Canadian healthcare system works, they said, yeah, we can get you in to see a neurologist in about a year. So they set up the appointment. Well, like a month later, he just couldn't take it anymore, and he started looking around for options. And to Canadians, they're kind of like, well, hey, we pay the taxes, and they pay a lot of taxes, and they have free healthcare, right? So to them, to travel somewhere else and pay out of pocket for something is kind of an alien concept. They just don't get that. So when he got to the point where he just couldn't take the pain anymore, so nice lady Kelly, who runs this company, that he found her, she found the right place for him, and it was in the United States. He went down and traveled, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was Chicago or Detroit, but the point was that he went down, he got to see a neurologist right away, and he literally had a screw loose in his body. He had had back surgery many, many years before, and one of the screws had come slightly loose apparently and was pinching a nerve different times during the day, and it would affect him. So it was kind of an on and off thing. They could never figure out what it was. So they finally figured out what it was. The doctor gave him a course of action, told him the surgery he was going to do, how he was going to fix it, and within weeks he was good to go. He was a changed man. And then the funny postscript to that story is, or not so funny, I guess, is that literally about 2 years later, he got a call from his primary care physician saying, oh yeah, we got you your appointment with the neurologist. They're ready to see you now. So, you know, for him, it wasn't about cost. It was about, I have pain and I can't get it taken care of in my own country for a long time. I needed to get it taken care of. So that was a whole different thing for him. And we have a lot of stories like that. And we really try and bring out the story, you know, kind of the hero's journey, if you will. They have this problem and they overcame it by traveling somewhere else to fix it. And it doesn't matter what country they came from or went to. We have all different kinds of examples. And we're getting a lot of great interest from people on our Facebook fan page. And just people are excited about it because they're really interesting and great stories. And they just don't really realize, wow, this is something that I can do. Anybody can do this.
Right. It's just becoming more and more common. And that's, mm-hmm. I guess, the kind of for our listeners out there, it's, if they're thinking of kind of doing something like this for whatever health reason, what's their best, you know, I guess, mode of action outside, you know, Google something? Is there, what more can they actually be doing?
Sure. For a lot of them, a lot of the medical tourism facilitators that they'll work with, and I generally, you know, you can go and try and do the research yourself and find the facility yourself. And there are people who do that and they succeed and it's just fine. Generally, if you don't have a lot of time to do the research or you're looking for an expertise, I would look for the type of problem that you have and find a medical tourism facilitator who's an expert in that particular type of surgery or procedure and talk with a few of them and see where they recommend that you go to and everything else. And then, you know, basically you need to find someone that you feel comfortable working with, that you know has done their homework, that, you know, everything is all accredited and, you know, and has been tested and, you know, their infection rates are low and all those kinds of things that you would look at, just like you would at any other hospital here in the U.S. or whatever country that you live in. And then, you know, from there, you know, basically, if you feel like you need to, you can even travel down to the facility and take a look at it ahead of time. But for the vast majority of patients that we talk to, they have a need. They make their decision. They do their research online. They talk with the people. A lot of times they're talking with the actual surgeon who's going to do the surgery via, you know, like we're doing right now online. And so they get a very good, comfortable feeling. They know that there's translators in place if needed. Most of the doctors already are very fluent in English, as are the nurses, and there's translators if not. And basically they start working with their primary care physician to talk about how they're going to do this. So involve your primary care physician right away and let them know what you're looking at doing. And that usually there hasn't been too much pushback. They understand the reasons why you're going a lot of times, and make sure that the aftercare is well set up, and then, you know, kind of go from there. So Google typically is where people are starting their research there, and then there are plenty of forums out there where you can go and for different specialties and find out, well, you know, how, who's been there, and talk to people who have actually been. And I would say talk to more than just one, you know, try and find two or three or four people who have been to that particular facility to have that particular surgery and find out, you know, what was good about it, what wasn't, because it's not always going to be perfect. Ask them, how are they going to handle the aftercare? How are they going to handle things if they don't go right? You should definitely look into travel insurance for medical tourism. We actually interviewed a gentleman who provides a specialty rider, I think it is, insurance that will, if you have a complication or a problem while they're down there and you have to go back for whatever reason, it covers everything for you, and they're very, very inexpensive. So the amount of money that you're paying to do this, you're saving all this money from your own home country typically. It's definitely worth getting that. So those are some of the things that I would definitely recommend for people to take a look at.
Wow, John, you just threw out a huge resource library there of kind of things for people to consider. That came blowing by me. So, you know, if people are needing some of that, again, is there something like either on your site, or is there someone that can guide them, or, you know, how, you know, talking about finding the facilitator and that kind of thing, are there ways that you know of for them to do that?
You know, that's a good question. I hadn't actually considered that or talked about that before, because, you know, I'm not a medical professional myself, and I let that, you know, be known right up front. Hey, I'm a guy who's got a podcast, who interviews success stories and talks to people about medical tourism. So I hadn't really considered putting out any kind of resource because, you know, I'm not a professional, but that might be something that maybe you and I could work on that together, where I could, you know, kind of tell you, hey, this is what we would recommend and suggest. You could put that on your website, you know, as a doctor who has a little bit more insight into these things and a better idea of what they should be looking at. And that way they could go to your website and kind of have an idea of kind of a checklist maybe of things that they could look at and do and ask. And one of the questions that we like to ask on our show is always, okay, so you're a professional. Now, I want you to pretend that your daughter or your wife or one of your family members is going to travel to another country. What would be the top two or three questions that you would ask of the professional on the other end who's going to be handling your family member? And the answers they give are usually different than the answers that they would, you know, kind of the standard answer, just because it's their own family member. It's a natural human reaction. And so we've gotten some great answers there. So they could, you know, obviously on our show, if they listen to the show every once in a while, they'll be able to get some good tips at the end from people where they're recommending they can find those kinds of resources as well.
Right. And I think I was kind of perusing some of the podcasts that you had on your website there, and lots of different topics come up. You know, you're hitting all kinds of different things.
Yeah, we're really trying to get a really broad, we really want it to be very global. I mean, we're interviewing, of course, a lot of people in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and Costa Rica are the four top destinations and locations of people that we're talking about and talking to right now. But we're also talking to people in Thailand, over in France, in India. You know, we've had multiple interviews. In India, it's very, very popular. It's a very popular destination. We have a lot of folks, you know, contacting us and saying, hey, we'd love to come on your show and talk about our patients and what they're doing, you know. And so you start looking at all the different places in the world you can do this. I mean, you know, for example, we spoke to the CEO of a French company who does medical tourism facilitation for people going into France. So, you know, most Canadians and Americans think of France as, well, it's a socialized healthcare system, and that's for French people, and you can't get into that. Not so, au contraire, mon frère, as they would say, right, in France. So actually, you can actually go into France and get some fantastic healthcare. And I think I recently read that it was either the World Health Organization or JCI or somebody like that recently named France. They're consistently one of the top one or two healthcare systems in the world. And you can go they have a lot of people coming from England and Spain and other places in Europe to come over there, and they're getting the surgeries done less expensively, and they're not having to wait on a list. And they're staying there and recovering and turning it into, you know, kind of a vacation recuperation type of a thing. And they're saving money and time. And I was shocked to hear that. I had no idea that you could do that and go into their system, but you absolutely can. So, I mean, there's really, it's a global phenomenon. And people are traveling from all over the place to all over the place. We talked with a gentleman yesterday from India, actually, and he is bringing a lot of people from Africa who they can't get the healthcare that they need, and it's cheaper for them to get on a plane, fly to India, get the procedure done, stay there for a while and recover, and then fly back than it is to stay in their own country. And in many cases, it's not even something that's available to them because the expertise just isn't there in their particular region or their country. So yeah, it's a really global phenomenon. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, I guess kind of to really get the if you want to say, the overtone of this whole discussion is that I guess this is something that's going to be coming up more and more, and mm-hmm. it's something that it really is to consider. You know, if someone out there can't get the health care they need right there, or also looking from a financial aspect, or their insurance doesn't cover it, mm-hmm. just to throw this out there too, we often think of, gee, you're going to go travel somewhere and pay cash for something. But actually, if you have insurance, you know, we have people travel to see us, and they have insurance, and we take an insurance, and it's covering a lot of that. It may not exactly cover their travel, but it will be covering their whole, you know, the whole setup that we have, as well as their procedure. And then we get the aftercare that we can get it to them as well. So it's not only the self-pay or the cash out of pocket things.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a very good point. And we talk with people, we ask that question every time. What were the cost savings? Did your insurance cover it? And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And an interesting side note to that, if you work for a small to medium-sized business or you are the owner of a small to medium-sized business, many of these companies are starting to self-insure because it's less expensive for them. We had a great example from a gentleman we interviewed. He was an insurance company and they were helping people to figure out how to self-insure their company with their people in there. And there's a certain range of size, you know, where that works. And I don't remember if it was like 25 or 50 employees up to, you know, hundreds of employees. But what was really interesting was they said, look, we're not forcing you to do anything. We'll give you options. You can go and get your surgery done. Let's say you need an orthopedic, you need a knee replacement surgery or something like that, okay? And that would cost, I don't remember the numbers, but it was in the, you know, $80,000-$100,000 range, something like that, okay? So they said, look, you can do that here in the United States. Pick your provider, go wherever you want. That's perfectly fine. You're welcome to do that. There's a $5,000 deductible, so they had to pay for that out of pocket. The patient did, okay? But what most people who have insurance don't realize is that the company also has a deductible that they have to pay. So they were paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for that procedure in addition to the insurance coverage, so they didn't have to pay for the whole thing. So what they started doing was they went and did research and found a company an organization down, I think it was in Costa Rica, but it may have been in Mexico, but it was down in Central America somewhere. And basically what it was they said, look, we'll take your employees, we'll fly them down to this location, they get a limo, they get to stay in a 4-star hotel, they get first class treatment, private room with an extra bed for their spouse or their traveler who's going with them, an interpreter, everything that they need, meals, all inclusive and everything else. And you'll stay down there for 2 weeks or whatever the recovery period was going to be before they came home. And the company would pay for it completely, 100%, no expenses out of the pocket of the employee. So they let the employees decide, well, do I want to pay $5,000 and get it done in the U.S.? Or do I want to travel down somewhere else and get it completely paid for and get almost a vacation experience out of the deal, right? So more and more of them started doing that. So the self-insurance is really a big deal. And, you know, insurance is kind of a boring topic really to be talking about on a podcast really. But when you look at how it's changing people's lives and having that ability, it's really something that I think more and more small businesses are going to look at and say, you know what? This is absolutely something we can do. And the employees are buying into it because they realize they're saving the company money. It goes directly to the bottom line of the company. They're more healthy. They get better, in their opinion, they're getting a better option and a less expensive option. And they're getting treated like $1 million. They get a private room, you know, it's like concierge service with a place for their spouse to stay or their traveler as well. So it's really been an interesting and exciting thing to talk with people about all those different options that are coming available now.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how things are kind of evolving here. And again, it's probably going to only evolve even more. Well, John, yeah. I'm going to kind of wrap this up. I really appreciate you taking the time and discussing this with us. If there's any one little tip you'd like to throw out before we kind of completely wind down, let you know your best effort there.
Sure. You know, I think what I was kind of hitting on before would be the thing that I would kind of reiterate is that, you know, this don't just think that if your doctor locally says you can't do that. That's my favorite thing for people as an entrepreneur. When people say you can't do that, you know, people told Elon Musk, well, you can't put, you know, rockets in space. Only governments do that. Private individuals can't do that. And he proved them wrong, of course. Same thing with the Tesla car, you know, and electric cars that are now going 300 miles and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm not saying that your doctor's wrong. I'm just saying that you can't keep up with all of the possible changes that are happening in healthcare, medically, and everything else. You have a world of options at your fingertips. I mean, you know, you got this little thing. You got the world at your fingertips right here on your iPhone or on your desktop phone. Go in there and do some Google searches and find out, you know, what is it you did that you need done. Talk with people who have gone and done it in different locations and decide what the best option is going to be for you, and just never, 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 never give up. You know, there's going to be an option for you out there, hopefully somewhere. And, you know, I'll close with, we had another woman who was a stem cell recipient and doing this experiment, it's not experimental in Russia, but it's not approved here in the U.S., where she had MS also. And she ended up, you know, her doctor said, look, there's nothing else we can do for you. And she got frustrated, went online and started doing searches. And she found this woman who also had MS. And she nicknames herself the Ninja, the MS Ninja. And so she had this blog talking about her experience. So she called this woman. And it turned out she was getting her treatments right then that week in Russia. She handed the phone right over to the doctor. The doctor started talking with her right there and talking about the procedure, how do you get set up for it, making sure that she was a qualified candidate and everything else. So there's plenty of resources out there available to you. Do the research, find out what the best solution is going to be for you, and then take action and go get it taken care of. And obviously you want to make sure that you're vetting everything out. And, you know, obviously, you know, I'll just say this, when you watch Dateline NBC and, you know, some of these other big time TV shows, it's all about if it bleeds, it leads, right? They want the most dramatic thing, so they tell the horror story of the one gone wrong. Well, sure. I mean, but that stuff happens in the US too. So, you know, just take the time to do your due diligence, make sure you're checking the place out and vetting them out. Talk to people who have been there and done that. Find out what their backup procedures are. In case something does go wrong, how are they going to handle it? And you should be just fine.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Thank you, John. Again, he's at Healthcare Elsewhere. It's if you could go to their website at www.healthcareelsewhere.com. And lots of good podcasts, lots of good stories on there. And I would encourage our listeners to take a look at that. If you want more information from me, you can go to our corporate website, which is cfwls.com. We have a lot of information there. If you're considering weight loss surgery, then we also have a full webinar you can download and you can watch right from our website. Get all the information, and I'd love to see you then here at the Center for Weight Loss Success. If you just want other weight loss information, go to our other website, which is losingweightusa.com. That's www.losingweightusa.com. Lots of free things, recipes, tips, weekly access to me. I do a webinar that's live, and you get access to ask questions, and I'd encourage you also sign up for that. Anyway, thank you again, John. I'm going to sign off now. We'll talk to everyone on the next podcast. And remember, it's your life. Make it a healthy one. Goodbye,
everyone. See ya.